This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning. A feel-good Friday indeed. The last day of February, January, and February. Tough months around the Northeast as we move towards spring. And more NFL news brewing, and this is a Boomstradamus, this is a what did I tell you day, the Raiders and Matthew Stafford inching closer to getting a deal done, and I don't know if the Giants are going to be able to do anything about it, as it was reported yesterday that the Raiders and Matthew Stafford had agreed on the framework of a deal. What the contract would look like. Now they got to figure out something with the Rams. If the Rams want to match, then he'll go back there to L.A. If they don't, they got to figure out a trade. And here's Joe Shane and the New York Giants going, okay, what's next? Do we trade up now to number one to assure that we get the quarterback we want? Is there someone else out there? But it seems like from yesterday, a quick change. Giants wanted Stafford. Vegas wanted him more. He wanted Vegas more. And this dream of him coming to the Giants is dead. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. I'm doing well. I was watching the combine yesterday and watching a couple of guys, the big guys, running yesterday.
Yeah.
Nothing better than big guys running.
Big guys moving.
Right. And there are a couple of guys that are going to be in the top of this draft that showed something yesterday. I think his name was James Pierce, the edge rusher from Tennessee. Was a blistering like 4.75.
Is that the guy who ran with the hood on? It was a guy who ran with a hood on and still was, yeah, it's him right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually had a hoodie on.
He's not big. He's tall and he's thin and he's lanky, but he was blistering yesterday. He was the fastest big guy. And you could see that, you know, he 4.47.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Mm. That's insane. So I would think that he's going to climb the draft board. I believe he's projected at least in the top 10 right now. But watching him and a couple of the other guys yesterday, you could see the athletes. This is why the NFL has a problem, and their problem is offensive tackles. Offensive tackles are not the athletes that these kids coming out at the edge position are. They just aren't, and it's creating it really is creating a problem in the NFL, and the NFL will have to figure something out, or offensive linemen are going to figure something out. But when you have 4.47 edge rushers like this running around the corner, it's almost impossible for 6'5", 330-pounders, even though they have great feet and they have great technique, to stop these guys, you know, on a daily basis or a consistent basis anyway during the game. But as far as the Matthew Stafford stuff is, now, I think that both Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady have multi-million dollar homes in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's one of the ski resorts out there, whether it's Big Sky, it's something like Silo Ridge.
You know, yeah, very, very, very nice place.
Right.
People will have houses there, properties that they go in the winter to enjoy themselves.
Right. And in the summertime, a lot of hockey players go there. Okay. I do believe that they do have houses there. And I would not be surprised if they met their And I would not be surprised that Tom Brady has tried to talk to Matthew Stafford to come play for Pete Carroll and his buddy, who is now the GM, which was interesting because I did see Pro Football Talk interviewing both Pete Carroll and the GM for
Spytek,
who came from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's right.
And he was the guy that was kind of instrumental in getting Tom Brady there.
Yep.
So there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, this is, trying to piece all this together is unbelievable. But when you think about what Tom Brady is doing, the conflict of interest, honestly, is so obvious to everybody that he is here, the lead announcer for Fox, yet according to Spytek and according to Pete Carroll, Tom Brady is involved in decision making, and I guess he's texting these guys a lot. And yeah, he doesn't want to leave football. Now he has the best of both worlds. He gets to call games for teams that his team is going to be playing against, and he's also able to help his own team build. So I really wonder where this all ends and how Tom Brady is able to do both of these jobs if he's going to be this involved with the Raiders. Because let's just think for a minute. If you are the Rams.
Yeah.
And, you really do want Matthew Stafford. You're just trying to judge what you think another team is able to pay him and whether or not you're going to pay him that amount of money. Because even though the Raiders and Stafford have agreed in principle to some sort of contract, that doesn't mean that Raiders and the Rams have agreed to some sort of compensation when it comes to trading for him. So that's where we are right now. But, I mean, if Tom Brady came to me, I'd be like, I would love to go, because I would think because of his presence, the quarterback is always going to get the support that he needs, which I do believe undercuts the other 31 teams.
Yeah, I agree. I was shocked to hear that he was going to continue with his deal with Fox, and they made a point of saying it on a broadcast with Kevin Burkhardt. At this point, unless somebody really, really complains, like a high-level owner really, really complains to Roger Goodell and has some support there, this is going to continue. But he's more than just a little bit involved. He's not there, talking about the business aspect or hanging around Mark Davis like once every 6 months. If you go back and you watch the Pete Carroll press conference when he was hired, he mentioned Tom Brady's name about 50 times and how he wanted to be there. And he talked to Tom, and Tom did this and Tom did that. Said his name more than Mark Davis. He said his name more than anybody.
That's exactly, by the way, just so you know, this is what the Pro Football Talk interview was like when Florio and Sims had him.
Yeah.
It was the same thing. It was Brady this, Brady that. He loves ball. He's involved. I talked to him. I mean, it's...
Fast forward to this with Stafford, where he's in Montana with a recruiting him, and the next thing they've got a framework of a contract. I mean, he sounds like the owner, the general manager, the coach. That's what he sounds like right now. And he's getting things done, which Tom will. But you're right. The broadcasting thing is odd. I just don't know how it continues to go on. But apparently it is. It's going to keep going.
Yeah, and I don't know if other owners will start complaining or not. It all depends on how the Rams feel about this. If Brady has convinced Stafford that, look, man, you got to get out of there. You got to come to Vegas. You got to be with Coach Carroll. This is great. We got great facilities here. We're going to pay you, whatever it is, $45 million for the next 3 years. We're going to guarantee you $100 million. Whatever that number may be. Now it's up to Matthew Stafford to go back to the Rams and go, I'm out. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Maybe Kelly Stafford, his wife, will say the same thing. We don't want to be here. Because she's been very, very critical of the Rams and some of the decisions that they've made personnel-wise, which is, to me, overstepping your bounds, which is, something that I guess in this day and age is expected. But I kind of feel like it's all going Vegas's way, and it's going to happen eventually, and it's going to happen relatively soon, just simply because Matthew Stafford has a $4 million roster bonus due in early March.
Yeah, and the Rams did give him the opportunity to go out and explore and talk to teams. So it's not as if Tom Brady was doing this and tampering and he wasn't allowed to do it. The Rams did give permission. But now it's, what do the Giants do? It was clear that the Giants were in on Matthew Stafford. It was their number one priority. Doesn't seem like, unless this whole thing falls apart with Vegas, which I'd be surprised if it did at this point, they're going to have to go in another direction. And some of the chatter yesterday was that they're going to have to trade up to number one to ensure that they get the guy that they want.
And then there'll be a new coach next year.
Right, exactly.
I hate to be so negative about it,
but that's what it feels like is going to happen.
I feel bad for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to win. They want to win. John Mara wants to win. And they feel like they had, maybe they still do. I doubt they do. It's probably got to be very, very unlikely that it's going to happen, that they would be able to trade for Matthew Stafford at this point. I think that ship has sailed simply because of Tom Brady and his presence, and because it's indoors, it's Vegas. It's kind of got a vibe to it that I think any of these quarterbacks would love to go and play in. And he is the most sought after. And there's a reason he's the most sought after, is because he can freaking flat out play.
Yeah.
And that is something that, you know, I would just, if I'm Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady and I are hanging out, drinking a couple glasses of wine or whatever, or eating, you know, I don't know, grilled chicken and broccoli and drinking water, I would think that it'd be pretty cool to think that, you know, the GOAT wants me to come play for his team.
Yeah, and if the Giants love one of those two guys, one more than the other, and it just seems right now that Cam Ward might be selected ahead of Shedeur Sanders, then they do have to trade up with the Titans. They're going to have to do that. They love Cam Ward than Shedeur Sanders.
The Browns will take him.
Well, if they trade up with the Titans, though, then they're...
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, if they don't...
Yeah.
I personally don't know what the Titans are going to do either. I mean, it's interesting. There are about five really unstoppable football players at the top of this draft, and neither one is the quarterback.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some really, really top-end players that would really excite me if I were a general manager. And I was thinking, like, the Titans, I think they were either 31st or 32nd in sacks last year. So that tells you, like, they need defensive linemen. They need an edge rusher.
You know who their GM is, right?
Yes.
Borgonzi.
Chris Jones, baby. That's where he came from. He came from Kansas City, and he knows how important Chris Jones is. He also knows how important a quarterback is as well, because that quarterback out there just wins football games. It may not be pretty at times, but all they do is win because of him. But this is interesting for the Giants now. What do they do? And again, if Shane and Abel need to win next year, they're not winning with a rookie quarterback. Neither one of these guys, in my eyes, is Jaden Daniels. They're not C.J. Stroud. And I don't think the Giants roster currently constructed is good enough to support the growth of a young quarterback who is not ready to play at this level yet.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, too? So you got the three quarterbacks at the top of the draft. Let's just talk about them for a second and leave J.J. McCarthy and Penix and Nick's out of it. So those three guys we knew were going to go 1, 2, 3, sort of like we know that Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders will be the first two quarterbacks picked this year. So the first guy, Caleb Williams, played okay, showed talent. I think everybody still expects him to really show who he is with Ben Johnson, but his head coach gets fired. The second guy, he ends up going to the NFC Championship game. His coach is voted the number one coach in football by the NFLPA, and everybody loves him. But the third guy...
And by the way, it was a first-year coach.
Right.
It was a first-year coach.
Well, first-year coach in that place. But he coached before.
He had been a head coach before, but it was his first year with Jaden Daniels. Not his third year. Not his fourth year, right, where they're coming off of multiple losing seasons.
And then you have Drake May... pick third, and then that coach got fired there, too. So, I mean, it's rare. The point is that it's very, very rare for a rookie quarterback to come in and do what Jaden Daniels did and then just set an organization off in the right direction. So, but they've got no choice. I mean, at this point, they've got no choice. They're going to have to go out, get a stopgap guy, draft one of these guys, and then hope at some point the rookie, if it's either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, comes in middle of the season and looks really good, even though they're not winning, but looks really good enough so that John Mara wants to keep him. That's the only option. Because if you don't draft one of these guys, what the hell is the future?
Well, the other problem that you have is you have guys like Deontay Banks and Kayvon Thibodeau who have not panned out to be the players that they were drafted to be. Hmm. And, you know, that also goes into the mix here when it comes to trying to figure out whether or not, you know, these guys should be kept here, you know, after next year. I mean, they are in a really, really tough spot. And this is one of the reasons why Matthew Stafford has been such a talking point here in New York. Because everybody knows that they need that. If they want to compete in their division right now, they have the worst quarterback. Right now, as we sit here, they have the worst quarterback situation, I believe, in the NFL.
Browns.
Yeah, I guess you could say the Browns. Yeah, I guess the Browns.
And they're both rock bottom.
Browns and the Giants are 31, 32, depending on what you think of Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
Because Tommy DeVito is the only guy on the roster.
Yep.
So there's going to be a new guy back.
Is Drew Lock just a 1 year deal?
Yeah, there's going to be one guy. Maybe Tommy stays here. I hope for him and his family he does. But to be realistic, there's going to be two new guys, maybe three new guys that are brought in. One is going to be a stopgap. One is probably going to be a draft pick, and another one maybe a a college free agent somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, and they ended up doing it with Kurt Warner and Eli Manning, and the Giants would love for that to work out just like that again. So that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to find an older veteran somewhere to come in, play, keep them in games, not be an embarrassment like they were last year. And then when they feel like that guy is ready, they're going to have to get him into some games at some point. They're going to, because the pressure is going to be.
Eventually they will be. They will, because whoever the stopgap guy is not going to go 7-0.
No way.
I mean, the stopgap guy might go 1-5,
mm-hmm.
and then it's going to be like, oh, you got to play the guy. Then we all know what's going to happen.
Of course.
It's like we could see it before our eyes.
Yeah.
If they do not get one of these legitimate stopgap quarterbacks, whether it be a Russell Wilson or a Kirk Cousins, if Atlanta decides to move on from Kirk, I don't know. I mean, but there are a handful of those types of guys out there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really the only option that they have now, and they got to hope whoever that is, if it's Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, comes in and shows real promise. Because if he doesn't, and then he has a bad year and looks overwhelmed, whoever that is, then those guys are gone, and then you've got a detriment to the young quarterback is going to have to learn a new offense the next year and all these things we talk about that really sets a guy back. And John Mara, he talked about screwing up Daniel Jones and changing the offensive coordinators and the head coach and all that stuff. He could do it again.
It could happen again. And I've said this during the season, and I'll say it again. Pat Shurmur's the guy. Pat Shurmur really knows whether or not Shedeur Sanders can play. He knows. He's been there with him a couple years. They've been running a pro-style offense. I don't know what his relationship with the Giants truly is, but if you're Joe Shane and you're Brian Daboll, you got to sit down with Pat Shurmur and you got to ask him all the questions, and maybe they have already, I don't know, about Shedeur Sanders and whether or not you think he could handle coming here to New York. I mean, Pat Shurmur was here for a couple years. He got what I think is the best out of Daniel Jones.
Pat Shurmur!
I would think that he would be a real good pipeline for Brian Daboll to call up and just talk to him and say, you think this guy can handle it? There's a lot that goes into this. And that's why these interviews are important. It's important to see them run, and it's important to see them throw, and they'll have pro days. But you really got to get to know the young man to see whether or not he is truly dedicated to becoming great. And that goes for Cam Ward, too, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that part of Shedeur. What I'm worried about is the talent level. I mean, I know he's going to work hard. I know he understands it. He's been around it. All those things I'm not concerned about with him. I think he's going to be mature enough and dedicated enough to be a great player. I haven't heard a single person, whether it's you, whether it's Phil, whether it's any number of draft experts, that have said that he can come in and be a great quarterback. And I keep bringing this up, the two comps that I heard with Shedeur Sanders were Teddy Bridgewater and Chad Pennington. He may end up being better than those guys and winning Super Bowls. That doesn't mean that he's going to be someone.
When you think about those guys, you don't think about dual threat quarterbacks. You think about more pocket passers, good, solid, leaders of their teams, very likable players.
But not a second or third overall draft pick.
Well, right, exactly. Maybe middle first round. But again, it's all going to come down to, does somebody really need a quarterback? And there are five or six teams that fall into that category, the Giants being one of them, the Jets being another.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on a feel-good Friday. Jerry Recco had a late night last night, and it was a tough loss. It was almost like a karma spot for Jerry, and I know that sports karma is something that not everybody believes in, but man, I tell you, when you play that buzzer beater over and over and over again with Michigan State beating Maryland, and then you end up being the victim of a buzzer beater about 24 hours later.
That's your fault.
You got to think.
That's exactly right.
You got to think about it.
Just kept playing that damn thing every update yesterday, and it was enough. I had seen it like 100 times.
Yeah, he gave you all the calls yesterday.
You hated it all. Versions. Let's go to Michigan State. Let's go to Maryland. Let's go to CBS Sports Network. I'm like, hey, how many times are we going to play this?
Every hour, as it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Jerry's call on the buzzer beater?
Of course I do.
And I want to hear this.
Gio and I were sharing a brain because that's where I was going. You know, we got to keep it fair around here. He did that with you yesterday.
Yes.
We got to go to his day yesterday, which was a long one because he did the show with you guys. Flew to Michigan. It's a 9 o'clock tip last night.
Ugh.
Rutgers is playing 15th ranked Michigan. They had a double digit lead in the second half. Then they took the lead by 1 with 12 seconds left on a couple free throws. So then you get to the final possession here, Michigan inbounding the ball, down 1 with about 3 seconds left.
Gets it into Wolf, catches, dribbles, Burnett, a 3 for the win. Good! And Michigan has beaten Rutgers 84-82.
Oh!
They couldn't make a 3 all night, but when it counted most, the Wolverines come up big.
And maybe it wasn't a 60-footer, but it was a deep three.
That was a deep three.
But and they were losing, too, unlike the Maryland game, where it was a tie game, would have gone into overtime.
Yes.
And the amazing thing is that the Michigan State player that hit the half-court shot had an off night shooting.
Yeah.
He did not have a great night until until the last shot.
And same for Michigan, as Jerry alluded to there. Couldn't make a 3 all night, but when they needed it in the big spot, they did get it done. So a crushing loss on the road for the Scarlet Knights. On the fan here on the broadcast, they go to break, come back and chat for a minute or two, waiting for head coach Steve Peichel to join them. And about I'd say 6 or 7 minutes after that three ball went down, he did join the broadcast, and he was still hot, to say the least.
We head downstairs now. Head coach Steve Peichel with his coach, Jerry and Austin. You've been around this game a long time. How do you even react to that?
Just f***ing devastated for our f***ing guys. Played so hard and f***ing the whole time. Excuse my language.
Yeah, those were like jamming in those F words, too. They didn't even make sense where he put them. You know, like that's how badly he wanted to say those things.
Yeah, yeah, it's so disheartening. And I know from the coach's perspective for those kids, you know, you're busting your ass. You're trying to keep them in the game. You're trying to keep them in the season. You're telling them that it's not over yet. Keep playing hard. And then you lose games like, you know, Maryland lost the other night. And then the way that Rutgers loses last night, it's a killer. And, man, you know, these college coaches, you know what they're like.
Yeah, I'm assuming nobody heard this on WFAN last night.
Yeah, so I spoke to Marco Belletti, who, of course, does the updates overnight, nighttime into the wee hours of the morning. And he told me that he was in the control room with McMonagle, who was waiting to come on. And I guess Big Zoo was working the board last night. And he tells me that Big Zoo was on top of it, slamming away on that dump button, and that nothing got through. So you're proud of your guy, Big Zoo. He's on top of it, making sure that no one out there is offended.
Well, a new era
no
for
FCC
Zoo.
Fines for us. You know,
the important thing is that I think Zoo is paying attention to what Eddie's doing. And now he's trying to make, you know, an impression on us.
Maybe.
And I kind of feel like you're trying to make the impression for him on us.
I mean, I didn't speak to him. He didn't say, hey, putting in a word for Boomer for me. But when Marco was telling me the story this morning, that's why I said, hey, think about it. You're in a game broadcast. Right, and some Gio, you know this. Sometimes we come out of delay for the actual play by play, and you build it back up, and you're thinking, all right, post game show, you know, feet up spot. All
Jerry
good.
Recco, Steve Peichel, yeah. Nothing's going to happen
right.
here.
Yeah, and they were on top of it, and he was firing 3 F-bombs in 6 seconds. He had to be quick to react there, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if they came out of delay and then went back up, but if they did, that's another feather in his cap to have built it back up after the game ended in order to have a situation like that. We'd be on top of it. So, yeah, good job, guys.
Yeah, I don't know what they do for those broadcasts in here in 2025. It's been a minute since, you know, I was running the board.
Yeah.
So, but if that were the case, yeah, good job.
Either way,
those guys.
So they did their job.
They did their job.
They did their job. Just do your job.
That's right.
Don't do anything else, but just do your job. Whatever your job is, whatever the expectations are, just do your job.
Yes. I will say the unbleeped version is even better than the bleeped version, as it often is.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure he was hot.
Oh, boy. He was. He was not happy with the officiating or lack thereof down the stretch. Felt they didn't get a good whistle and just crushed for his guys.
Can't be more proud. Come into this place and just play them toe-to-toe the whole time, and you lose on that, like that play.
It's one of the. I've done this a long time, and I said to Austin, I don't even know what to ask him.
I felt for Jerry. It was a short interview.
I figured he would have known what to ask him since he was playing it, you know, so much yesterday with Maryland and Michigan State. Oh my God! I'm like, you just sat here and played it over and over and over again.
It's like you got free prep for this situation.
Exactly.
That's the way you got to look at it.
Yeah. Well. We'll have some fun with that throughout the course of the morning. Of course, he's not here. It would be better if he was sitting here and you could really, you know, stick the knife in him.
I don't want to, God, because I want Rutgers to win.
Well, we all want Rutgers. Well, most of
us. Well, we want Rutgers and St. John's. We want them all in. You know, Villanova, I want them all in.
Sure. Sure. It's down year for Seton Hall, so it'll be nice for Rutgers.
Yeah, I like Villanova.
I was going to say, that has nothing really to do locally with us.
I know, but I have friends who went to school there. And, okay. You know. Mm.
Well, that's a you thing. I'm not a Villanova guy.
Yeah.
That's a you thing.
Plus, I was a huge Jay Wright fan when he was at Hofstra.
Same here, but he's not there any longer.
He's not.
Philadelphia and screw that.
Do you think
that.
He's going to get back into coaching somewhere?
No, I don't. Maybe
even
in the
even
NBA.
At the pro level?
Yes, maybe in the NBA. 10% chance NBA, 0% chance college. Unless they really fix the nil thing and make it palatable for some of them.
Yeah.
Like the coaches that left.
NBA-wise, Steph Curry goes for 56 on the road last night as the Warriors beat the Magic 121-115. The Golden State overcoming 41 from Paolo Banchero. Lakers over the Timberwolves 111-102. LeBron at 33, 17 boards and 6 assists. Luka Doncic, 21 points, 13 rebounds in that game. Anthony Edwards got 2 technical fouls, gives him 16 for the year, so he faces an automatic one-game suspension unless one of those techs is rescinded. And I guess upon receiving that second tech, he tossed the ball ball into the crowd or something. I saw a brief video of this.
Oh, he's going to get suspended.
He was frustrated. They did take a loss against the Lakers. Tonight, you got the Nets hosting Portland. Coverage on the Fan at 7:20. Knicks at the Grizzlies. Now, you guys, I think, touched on this a little yesterday, which was news to Al this morning on the warm-up show, talking about podcasts and how Paul George stopped doing his podcast. And was it Jerry who brought up Kendrick Perkins? Said that
Jalen
Brunson and Josh Hart had stopped doing theirs. Well, I guess they put out a new episode either yesterday or this week. And oftentimes they won't talk current Knicks stuff, right? It'll be sort of just life things or off the beaten
path. Pop culture, whatever.
Right, exactly. So in this particular episode, they did talk about the fact that they've really struggled against these teams with good records. So I'll play you part one here, which is mostly Hart, and then what Brunson had to say at the end. And as Knicks fans, we'll get your thoughts. So here's part one.
A record against the top teams in the NBA. Pretty horseshit.
What would it be, 0-7? 0-6?
7.
A team to see that stat and to recognize it, I think it can be taken two ways. It can be extremely beneficial because it could put you in a position of being humbled. You know, we have a lot of room to go, or, you know, kind of break teams and you think like, oh, we're not as good. I think with the mentality that we have and the character of the team that we have, I think it would be the first one.
All right, so there's Hart weighing in, and then Brunson steps in here, and this was the interesting part to me because, you know, we think very highly of him and the team, and not necessarily from a critical standpoint, but you would think there have been enough of these losses now that they would have some, you know, realization and a wake-up moment, but it sounds like maybe that's still to come.
The frustrating part about all this is that, like we have what it takes. We have the personnel. Like, we have everything we need in that locker room. We just got to put it together. The amount of times we've been, like, embarrassed on national television, I mean, that should ring a bell. Mm-hmm. Like, that should be like a wake up call in itself, and not just for those games, just like for the rest of the season. Like, we gotta wake the hell up.
0-6, 0-7. So, how are they not awake at this point?
No, but I'll tell you, I love it. I love the fact that they were open and honest about this, and that they weren't responding to, you know, questions from reporters. They were talking amongst themselves.
Sure.
Now, you can say whatever you want. This is their day off. They can do whatever they want on their day off. It's their right to have a podcast. I have no problem with any of it. And these guys don't do anything controversial. And I know, I kind of take it away like, they know what's going on. They know what's being said. They know how Knicks fans are trepidatious when it comes to playing one of these three teams. And they know their record. And I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with their podcast either, because they're not doing what Paul George did, which is slam his team and his coach and everything else in great controversy. They've never done that. And I also like the self-awareness thing. It's one thing to recognize, it's another thing to fix it.
Yeah,
and these guys both said, I mean, we have the character in the locker room. They were talking, we have the players.
Less them doing the podcast, more was kind of, I mean, how many big losses does it take against good teams for there to be a wake-up call?
Well, now it comes down to, when is Mitchell Robinson going to play? Now, he said he thinks he's going to play on this road trip. And hopefully we'll see how the configuration looks and how different it looks. And whether or not he is the starting five and Josh Hart goes to the bench and then he comes off the bench and it kind of makes the team whole. So they just lost Huck Porty to a meniscus.
Mm-hmm. 4 to 6 weeks.
And he actually
weeks.
Played pretty good.
Guy finally gets a start. Now he's down too?
Yeah, for about 4 to 6 weeks with a meniscus.
I did not see that. All right. Mm-hmm. My bad. Not on top of that.
That's all right. That's why I'm here.
All right. Well, we'll see how they fare against the Grizzlies tonight on the road, because they had their way with Memphis at the Garden coming out of
they
the
did.
Was that coming out of the All-Star break? Or no, it was prior to the All-Star
break. Prior to the All-Star break.
This is another Tier 2 team. So the Knicks at this point are a Tier 2 team along with Memphis. And let's see how they play on the road. I think it was 7 out of the next 8 or 8 out of the next 9 are on the road.
Yeah, and they have the West Coast trip coming up. Now, they went west earlier in the season. I think it was November, and they had a couple nice wins on that trip a while ago. But, you know, maybe getting away from this area and being out on the road
and
together for a little while.
A little bit. Yeah. A lot of times teams come together on the road when they're hanging out together and they're doing their thing and they're traveling and just playing ball. So hopefully that's going to be the case for them. And they've played really good. They've had some really good games.
Of course.
They have had some great games. And it's going to be one of the better teams that we've seen in the Knicks in 30 years. So we know that. Now the question is when they get to the playoffs, are they going to be healthy? And are they going to be the team that Jalen Brunson thinks that they have there? That's really what it comes down to.
I know you guys talked football in the open there. You do have the report out of Las Vegas that the Raiders and Matt Stafford, I guess, are in agreement on the framework of a contract. We still got to work out possible trade compensation with the Rams if that's going to get done. Giants remain in contact as well. Couple quick baseball notes for you. Clay Holmes, 3 scoreless innings, 1 hit ball. So he's looked good in a couple of spring training outings for the Mets. Did you see the new Jose Iglesias song that dropped?
I did not.
All right. I'd like you to take a listen to that maybe perhaps at some point today. And I'm curious if you have sort of the same reaction or takeaway as I did. Maybe not. Maybe I'm digging a little deep, but maybe okay. You can take a listen to that and see
what's
what
the
you
name
think.
Of the song?
Sign Meme MFers?
No, it's not that. No, I'm not sure what the name is. It's Spanish.
Called Solo 2.
There you go.
Solo 2.
T-U.
T-U.
Oh, T-U.
Solo 2.
Yeah. So you can take a listen to that. Tell me what you think.
All right.
The Yankees, meantime, still apparently have no idea about the extent of this injury to Giancarlo Stanton in the elbows, nor do they know exactly when he's going to be rejoining the team, which is strange to me at this point. I don't know if you guys feel the same about any of this.
No, there's something else going on here.
Yeah, and Boone, last week, it's personal in nature. If he wants to address it, he can. It feels like it's beyond the elbows.
There's something else going on. And I don't know what it is unless he really wants to divulge what exactly it is.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question. So you're a Yankee fan. Obviously, I thought that the Yankees, even without Juan Soto and bringing in Bellinger and Goldschmidt, were going to be good enough, and they should be good enough to dominate, I think, their division and be the best team in the American League,
right,
assuming that they stay healthy.
Yeah.
How comfortable are you feeling about the team going into this season right now?
I'm fine for right now. I'm similar to you. I think that they'll probably just be fine in the regular season. They'll have their warts like they have the last couple of years. And let me see what the team looks like heading into the postseason.
And they'll make a trade acquisition or
perhaps,
two or whatever.
I mean, look, we've talked a lot about the need at third base. And I know McMonagle's been big on that. Bring Nolan Arenado here. And maybe they won't do that immediately.
I mean, if you bring him here, then you got don't you have an all-star team from 2016?
Yeah.
Or 17 or 18, whatever.
To defend that, though, they have a window here with Judge and Cole, so it's not like they have to capitalize on things. They're not signing these guys to 10-year deals or bringing them in. They would be an upgrade. I mean, Goldschmidt's an upgrade. Arenado would be an upgrade. And they're trying to win this year. You know, it's not about the future for them. It's about right now.
Guys aren't getting any younger that they've got in the organization already.
So I'm just wondering if they're getting themselves set up to try to go after Vlad Guerrero, even though there's the thought out there that Guerrero doesn't want to come to the Yankees, hates the Yankees.
I've seen a
whatever
couple.
Whatever that story is,
yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like they're getting themselves financially in a position where they can go after him and try to convince him to come play in New York. A
couple of the baseball guys have said that they've got the Yankees as one of the favorites, which surprised me considering what he has said about them in the past, but I guess ultimately money talks. But if we say money talks, you got to imagine the Mets are going to have something to say about that.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to have 3 guys making over $350 million in their team. I don't see that for the Mets. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, CeeLo.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I told you yesterday you're a reels guy, and I'm a reels guy. You were like, I'm trying to stay away from the reels. No, you're not. You love reels. You're trying to stay away from the AI reels. But don't stay away from reels because you gave me a great one. You sent me a great one yesterday. From the All the Smoke podcast with our buddy Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. And it was the former NBA player Vernon Maxwell. Mad Max. He's got a very funny X account, by the way, Vernon Maxwell. And that's probably why they brought him in, because he's having a resurgence in comedy on his X account.
You know, he actually kind of sounds like Cat Williams.
He's got a little bit of, they might be from the same area in the South.
With that high pitch kind of twang. And he is hilarious. I know, I've met him a number of times.
Vernon Maxwell?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he's a maniac.
It's hilarious. So they ask him about a story back in the day where he was slapped by Hakeem Olajuwon, and they go, is there any truth in that? And you would think he would be like, no. He goes, no, there's a lot of truth in that. And he goes, Hakeem, it's like he scraped his hands on the ground.
And he goes into this whole story about how he had had it with Sam Cassell, and then he mouthed off to Hakeem, and then Hakeem slapped him on the way to the locker room at halftime, and he said that he almost ended his career on that slap because it hurt him so much. It's so fun. I can't do it justice. There's a lot of curse words in there. Vernon Maxwell, the way that he talks. I should probably have CeeLo go through it and bleep some of the stuff.
I don't think you can because every other word is either F or N.
It's so
funny.
And
it just goes on and on and on. And
these guys
hilarious.
Are dying laughing.
Oh, yeah, of course they are. Because that was back in the day, the 80s, man. Like, yeah. Well, life was pretty good in the 80s for the NBA player.
Yeah, I wish some guys would slap each other now going on in the locker room.
A little bit different now than it was then, that's for sure.
Let's go to Popcorn Rob, who joins us from Babylon this morning. What's going on, Popcorn?
Hey, Gio Boomer, man, first and foremost, like always, thanks for taking my call, man. And there's a few things that I wanted to mention.
Hold on, listen, for a second. Bob, hold on for a second. Are you the popping and locking, Bob?
Yes, man, the same one.
You are a South Shore legend.
Hey, yo, Boomer, check this out, though.
Yeah.
Listen, the same one, I met you years ago, man, like, because you, East Islip, you know, I was living in Huntington, so actually I was like a Walt Whitman guy, whatever like this. Then I moved to North Babylon. So between Huntington High School, Walt Whitman High School and North Babylon High School, you know, cause you know, I did a lot of moving around, but anyway, nonetheless. You're over there in East Islip.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. How old are you?
I'm 55, man. I'm a slight bit.
A little bit older than me. Younger than you. No, I'm 63. Younger.
He said 55.
Right. I'm 55. Oh, right. I said 65.
I'm 55.
Okay.
And yeah, because you was at the time with Jerry Cooney. You was in that area, or even Myron Bell.
Right. Right. And okay, Kevin Bowe and Todd
right,
Jameson.
Yeah. Right. So I grew up behind you guys. As a matter of fact, when I was in middle school, I was in Simpson Junior High School, and then we had Walt Whitman. Tom Gugliotta's father was the head coach, and so he allowed me to be there as a manager on the basketball team. So that's a little history of, you know, interacting. You know how we are in Huntington.
Yeah, but, I know. But anyway, the thing about it is, you're famous for your dance moves.
Yeah, right. Hey, absolutely. Yeah, and I still got it, Boomer, believe it or not.
I still got it. I like it.
Yes, absolutely.
Can you send us a video of you doing it today?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
I definitely will.
All right.
I definitely will.
Are you on social media?
Yeah, big time, man. I'm on Twitter like it ain't on. But I'll be getting angry with Elon Musk because I keep on getting these congratulations and you won a prize. But when am I going to ever get the prize, man? I mean, you got about 25 Elon Musk. I done got switched up. You know, they get my information. I'm telling every Elon Musk everything about me. And what I'm like, man, I'm going to land the right one sooner or later.
Hey,
you know, and I'm getting all these gifts and all this other stuff.
Popcorn. Hold on a second. Just be careful, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be giving all your information out to these frauds.
Yo. And so he gave me end-to-end inscription where Telegram and Zanny, like where, you know, where I could like have personal, you know, conversations where, you know, there's not this. But then again, you got to realize he's building these bots and he's allowing them to kind of work the interaction so that they can learn how to, you know,
yes,
how to communicate. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, so, I do. What's your ex account name? Bob, what's your ex account name?
It's Robert C. I got a. But listen, I just give. I'll give you my email, and this way you can get it.
Okay.
Because it's better. Because I, Boomer, be honest with you, I'm like, I have the ex account, and I'm always on, and I'm always putting, you know, posting content on Elon Musk, mostly Elon Musk and Donald Trump's, you know, accounts or Ivanka. Like, that's when you'll see it. You'll see the.
You gotta give me. Can you look down at your phone? Can you look down at your phone and give me the X account?
Okay,
I really want to follow you.
Yeah, I'm serious. Boom. Definitely. I'll do it now. Okay, I'm going to do it right now.
All right.
I'll do it right now.
Hold on. Let's get the actual address.
I want to see this.
The actual address. I'm going to do that right now. I can look it up.
And this is, by the way, if you're just joining us, this is the world famous Popcorn Rob. He is
hey,
a pop,
Poppin' and Lockin' legend. He really took Long Island by storm when he was younger. He was went to the top of the game at the breakdancing game. And he's one of those guys that once you move to Long Island, you live on Long Island.
You never leave Long Island.
You heard of him. You know about the legend.
He just keeps moving from town to town.
It's love, Boomer. It's so much it's love that you guys, you know, mentioning that. That feels real special, man.
Oh, good.
But that's even with sports. That's why I try to say, like, I try to stay connected and engaged in what I'm doing. Yeah. Like, you know,
well, stay engaged in finding that Twitter name here, your ex name. What is it?
Okay, I'm doing it right now. I'm right on it. I just had to go to my, my home screen or whatever. So here it is. And I got to look. All right, here we go. I'm going to give it to you right now, Boomer. Hold on. It's coming up. I see okay. Here goes Mr. Musk again, right here. It's at Robert C. Okay.
All right.
And so it's at Robert C 7858 1263.
Oh my God.
I don't know. They did it.
I got it. All right, well, Unicorn 44 Obama Pop.
Yes, God Mama Pop. Yes.
All right, I'm following you right now.
Right, okay, but let me make my statement now with these guys, bro. I really want to say this. But these guys, yo, why don't they stop getting Chucky the Big Man on the lines and start getting some of these guys, you know what? Start putting some of these athletic big boys on the lines, whether they were... Their normal positions might be pass rushers or whatever, but that don't mean that they can't because they're more engaged. When you're talking about pass rushing and, you know, linebackers, they're really more engaged in that lineman as opposed to a lineman because they're not really engaged. They don't really have that athleticism. So when you start utilizing some of these guys that may have been pass rushers, start putting them on the line, whether it's offense or defense. Because for the fact that these guys are going to stay engaged and they do their job. And so when you start going and getting these guys and drafting these people, these guys that because this guy's 300 something pounds, yeah, but he can't move. Yeah, but he's not engaged in his, you know, in his job. When you were talking about it, you spoke about that earlier in your conversations about doing your job.
Hey, Popcorn, real quick here because we got to take a break. But
I know, right.
Real quick, you are tweeting or posting to the wrong Elon Musk. It says parody accounts on there. You got to find the right one.
More than one. This is what I am explaining to you. It is about, listen, I got end-to-end inscriptions with your way. Not Elon Musk.
It's got a parody. You got to make sure it's the real one. It's pretty crazy.
Right.
You'll find it.
Yeah, you can look in all of them, and you'll eventually find the right one. You will eventually find the right one where he'll do end-to-end inscriptions with Telegram and Zanny. Where now you already know that this is, that, you know, but I explained it to him. I said, if that was my platform and I was the owner of X, there would be not absolutely no account other than I don't care. If your name was Elon Musk, oh well, you're going to have to find yourself another name. But no account will be on that platform getting across.
Hey, Popcorn, have a great weekend. It's great hearing from you, all right?
I love you guys, man. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, absolutely. Okay. Thanks for making it, Popcorn. Popcorn Rob.
He got a lot of energy this morning. That's what you call Feel Good Friday.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
People don't realize this. This guy was a legendary breakdancing. He was everywhere.
Yeah, he really was. Just
too bad social media wasn't around at that point.
You know, you took the words right out of my mouth. If he were, he would have a million TikTok followers. You know, it was one of those things like if you were a break dancer in his time, you were following in his footsteps. You know, he was the guy who set the standard, and then everybody else came after him. So it's great to hear that he's still doing it. You know, the arthritis hasn't kicked in yet. He's still popping and locking like the old days.
He's popping and locking, all right.
Makes me feel good. However, I'm a little concerned that he thinks he's talking to the real Elon Musk on some encrypted different communication app.
Yeah, I wasn't really understanding. Was he talking about Truth Social or something?
No. He was talking about something like, you know how people have, what's the popular one? I had to use it in Italy, actually, to talk to like
WhatsApp?
WhatsApp, yeah. So it's like he's... there's other ones like that, I think. That
Okay.
These encrypted things, you can't follow it. And he thinks he's talking to the real Elon Musk. He's like, I told him if I had X, if I owned X. So I'm a little worried about him in that way because I don't want him to get scammed. But he'll learn. He's probably listening now. He's got friends around. Hey, just chill.
Make sure he's okay. Make sure he's following the right people and not giving up the information.
Right, to fake Elon Musk's.
Right.
But anyway, it's good to hear from him, and it is a feel-good Friday on Boomer and Geo.
Yeah, it made me feel good.